You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Second Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll look down at a couple verses in this passage today, and starting a new series for the month of February, and you know, the month of love and Valentine's Day and all that. Well, I felt like the Lord would have me just do a series on I love the Word. I love the Word. And so that's what we're going to talk about for the next couple weeks here. And we'll get a graphic on the screen in a moment. You know how you have ever go to New York or somewhere like that and they have those I Heart New York t-shirts or I Heart LA or whatever it may be? Well, that's what we're doing today with I Heart the Word. I love the Word. And because we love the Word, we're going to do a couple things. I want to show you today, because we love the Word, we got to study the Word. And I want to take you to a famous passage that really, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, upon further study of this passage, I thought, just by looking at it, that it meant one thing. And how many of you know that, you know, sometimes you dig into the Bible, man, it just completely changes everything you ever thought, and you had it wrong the whole time. And I want to show you something here out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look here at a couple verses. We're going to get to our text verse in verse 15 in just a moment. But throughout this book, if you remember, Paul is talking to Timothy, right? I mean, obviously, 2 Timothy here. And of someone that he had led to the Lord, his son in the faith, so to speak. And now Timothy is a pastor, but he seems to be fearful. He seems to be has some trepidation to do what he's supposed to do. And so several times in the Bible, Paul says, "Hey, you know, gird up your loins, man. Be strong and remember the faith that is in you. And as a soldier, endure hardness." And we'll see here in this chapter several analogies that Paul uses to say, Timothy, you're not just a Christian, but also you're supposed to be several other things as well. In verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the first thing he says is, Timothy, you're a steward. You have been given something. And the same thing that was given to you, you give to the next person. And they can give to somebody else. You're a steward. We're stewards as well. But not only that, in verses 3 and 4, he's a soldier. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He says, Timothy, you're a steward. You've been given something. Don't drop the ball with what you've been given. And boy, can we all say that as well? We've been given something. Let's not drop the ball with what we've been given. But secondly, you're also not only a steward, you're a soldier. You're supposed to be fighting and warring. And this, it's a Christian life. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game, as the song says. Hey, it's a battle. But he also says in verse 5, he compares them, use the analogy of an athlete. And if, verse 5, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." That's talking about playing by the rules of a sport. So he's a steward, he's a soldier, he's the athlete there. And then verse 6 and 7, he's the farmer. "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." So we see the steward, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer. And then I have many times looked at some of these verses, and like verse 15, let's read that verse. And it says here, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And to be honest with you, as I studied this book, probably a year ago, I went through verse by verse in my own personal Bible study in 2 Timothy. And as I began to read it, I saw there the steward, I saw the soldier, I saw the athlete, I saw the farmer. And then I got to verse 15 and I thought, oh, the student. The student, right? But let's look at these verses again. Look, if you would, at verse 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman." that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it continues on for a little bit there. The word study, we think of study as, okay, I got to get my books out. Got to get my concordance out. Got to get, you know, the e-sword. I got to get, you know, the commentaries. And I got to sit down and I got to study this book. That's not what the Bible word study means. The Bible word study means to labor. It means to be diligent. So get the picture. The word workman there, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, a workman is a laborer. That's what it means. And so the picture here is not about a student. The picture is about a workman. So, well, why is that important? Well, I will tell you that a workman needs to be diligent in all his labors so as not to be ashamed when the inspection comes. Now, you think about that. A workman should be diligent in all that he does, in his labors, so as he's not ashamed when his work is inspected. We are not just students of the Bible. We're supposed to be workmen of the Bible. And I want to show you a little bit about that, but let's pray as we get started. Father, help us now as we dive into this and probably not go in the direction that many folks in here would think after they hear study the word, but I pray that you'd use it. I believe that this could be a big help to us if we'll just listen to the word of God and apply it to our lives today. We ask you for that in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times I have said these words since graduating Bible college. Boy, they sure didn't teach us that in college. So many times. I sat in classes, I sat in church ed class with Brother Trevor, and he would tell us about the ministry. I had classes from one of the youth pastors there would come in and teach a class about youth work. The first week of being here, I said those words to myself. Boy, they sure didn't teach us about that in Bible college. And I'll go talk to some of my friends who are pastors or youth pastors, and we'll talk, and we'll be like, hey, have you figured out that, like, they didn't teach us a bunch of stuff in Bible college? And, oh, yeah, it's almost like a running joke, you know? It's just funny, you know, all these things you have to deal with and these situations that really, you know, I don't know how they could prepare us. I honestly have thought to myself, I'm going to recommend to, like, Brother Trevor and some other college presidents to say, look, teach a class called What They Don't Teach You in Bible College. Now, you'd probably have to change the title because now you're teaching it. But how, I would go to that class, What You Don't Get Taught in Bible. I would go there about the ministry, you know, and how it's just so funny. But the thing is this, being a student in a classroom is completely different than being a workman in the fields. You may have had on-the-job training, OTJ, when you became whatever you're doing. And they set you in a classroom and they said, okay, here's how you drive a truck. Here's how you drive a backhoe. Here's how you do this. Here's how you sell this. Here's how, and whatever it is you may do, here's how you set this thing out here to make it look right. But you know, you can even take customer service classes, but once you get out there, customers don't always fit a certain mold. You know, people are strange. Being a laborer in the word is different than being a student in the word. Here's the thing about students. You think about those in our church that are in high school or those that are, you know, in college. And this is not true for them, but students drop out all the time. They quit. When the going gets tough, sometimes some students drop out. They may sit in a classroom, but they're not yet getting that real-world experience of putting things into practice. That's a student. We're not just supposed to be students of the Word where we sit in our house and we read it and we study it, but we never put it into practice. We're supposed to be a workman. We're supposed to be someone who's putting it into practice. Listen, a day laborer, someone who's going out and just working and picking up jobs, they're working for their livelihood. And they know that if they don't get the job or if they just quit, that means no sustenance for their family. If they just quit and don't work, that means no shelter for their family. If they quit and don't work, that means no success in life. And when we stop laboring in the Word of God, there's no sustenance spiritually. There's no shelter from the storms of life. There's no success because the Bible tells us that success is measured by what we do with the Word. So I'm here to tell you today, let's not just be students, let's be workmen. Let's treat it as if this is something that matters for our livelihood. And if we don't get this book, and if we don't understand this book, and we don't appropriate this book to our life and use it, then boy, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it spiritually. Look at verse 15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So here's the thing. as a workman. By the way, each of us are workmen for the Lord. You can either be one of two things. You can be approved or ashamed. Approved or ashamed. Interesting thing about that, the word approved means tested by trial. It's like, you know, they try the metals to find out if it's pure, if it's good. And God puts us through the trials, and we're supposed to come forth as gold and be approved. I find it very interesting here that the word there, rightly dividing, is one Greek word, but two words for us. Rightly dividing means to make a straight cut. It means to dissect correctly. Now, here's the thing. If we are workmen for God, then we also, as workmen, must realize that this word is our tool. If we're workmen, this is your toolbox right here, this book. Now, I'll ask you, what do we use tools for? I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning of what we use tools for, and as a laborer, as a workman, what we should be using this book for. Can I say, first of all, we use tools for building. For building. Listen to this verse, if you would, Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Well, some of you saw me walking around with a hammer earlier, and it wasn't because I was angry at some teenagers, okay? It was just, I had the illustration coming, and that's why I brought it here, okay? But as a hammer, the Bible says, God says that this book is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. This book, this tool that we have been given as a workman, is to be used for building things. What do you build? You build a life. You build a marriage. You build a home. You build young people, children. You build everything upon this book right here. It's the Bible. We have a hammer here. There's two sides to a hammer. There's one side where you hammer the nails in. There's another side where you pull them out. This book that we have in front of us, sometimes it does some construction, and sometimes it does some destruction in our life. Sometimes we have to pull down things in our life so the Bible can build up the right things in our life. Think about, if you would, the parable in the New Testament. There was a wise man, and there was a foolish man. You know this parable. The foolish man was building a house, and he built it upon the sand, a foundation of sand. The wise man did not do that. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? So he built it upon the rock, and so then the floods of Long Beach. No, the floods came. And as the floods came, you know the story as well as I do. The man who built on the wrong foundation, the man who built wrong on the sand, his house collapsed. It couldn't stand the test of time. Why? Because he had built his life, his house, upon something that wasn't firm, something that couldn't hold him. But the wise man, because he had built his house upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the Word of God, that lasted. It's a very simple story, very simple illustration, very simple lesson. Build your life on God. Build your life on the Word of God. This book is supposed to be used in our life to build us. Here's the thing about building. I'm not a builder. I used to build model airplanes when I was a kid. You know, I've done some things like that. I'm not a builder. Many of you are. Building takes an application of knowledge. You have to have knowledge in order to build. And then you have to apply that knowledge to be able to build. Without knowledge, building might not work out the way you planned it to. My grandfather... I love my grandfather. He was he's such a good man. I really pray that, you know, he trusted Christ as Savior. He died long ago, but he built in Arkansas. He built his house. Now, he was a laborer in Chicago for years on the skyscrapers. He did all this sort of stuff. He was very skilled. So I don't know why his house looked like the way it did. And my dad would just say it's because he eyeballed everything. I mean, he would just look at a door and just be like, oh, that looks like about 8 foot by 3, you know, and just start building. And so you walk into his house, you're like, whoa. You're sideways. door jam. It looked like some Alice in Wonderland room, you know. You walk in there, and it's just the tile didn't meet the floor over here, and there were gaps everywhere. And I mean, it was just kind of like, yeah, he just built his own house, found stuff everywhere, and just came and brought it together, and it was just, it was awesome. And that's just how he built it. He eyeballed everything. Not one thing was straight in that house. Look, folks, if you give me a hammer and some nails and some drywall, it doesn't magically make me a builder. It doesn't magically give me the skill. There has to be knowledge of that trade, and there has to be application of that knowledge to be a builder. So what are you saying, Pastor? Look, just because you're a Christian, you own a Bible, that doesn't mean you're building your life upon Christ. There has to be a knowledge and then an application of that knowledge. Let this book build you. When is the last time you opened the Bible and you saw something? I'm just looking at the Bible here. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I should be following people that call on God out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Hey, when's the last time you read the Bible and said, you know what? I have been talking about all these politics and all these foolish questions that don't matter, and I've been fighting with people over things that don't matter. The Bible says I shouldn't do that. I'm going to stop doing that. When's the last time you read a verse like, hey, be ye kind one to another, and thought, you know what? I haven't been very kind. I'm going to start being kind to people. When have you let this book, the last time you opened this book and you saw God and you heard God say something, you thought, you know what? I want to build my life upon that principle. Upon that principle of the Bible. That is building your life upon the Word of God. You're allowing this book to build you. The Bible calls us God's building. It talks about that we ought to edify by this Word and edify others. What does that mean? It means to build up. So if we are God's building, how do we do that? You build by this book right here. There's no other foundation that you should be building your life on or with than this book. We use tools for building. Are you letting the Bible build you? But secondly, we also use tools for measuring. This one's mine, okay? So what do you use it for? Nothing, all right? But I like to have one. You know, a real man has one, right? Never use it, but got one. Hey, no, that's not true. I measured our dishwasher just went out like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And so you say, what's the dishwasher now? These. My hands. Why? Character, that's why. No, our landlord said, hey, you know, just measure it and tell us what it is and so forth. So I'm over there, you know, getting my tape measure out. Got to use it one time in 7 years. Okay, but anyway, there it is. But we use tools for measurement as well. I want you to take your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see this verse because I'd love for you to underline it or circle it. It's a great verse that we all need to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Many of you know it already. But would you remember with me for just a second what I mentioned earlier about that word in Greek that is two words for us, rightly dividing. It means to make a straight cut. It means to dissect correctly. I was taught as a kid that you measure twice and cut once. Obviously, I wasn't taught that by my grandfather. But my dad taught me, you measure twice, you cut once. You can't cut straight if you don't measure correctly. In the previous verses, you're in 2 Corinthians. Allow me, please, if you would, to just read you some verses out of 2 Timothy. I should have had you read these first, but the next verses, right after study to show thyself approved unto God, the next verses say this, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. What that is talking about is false doctrine. How do so many people, do you ever wonder, how do so many people get caught up in false doctrine? How can there be people that don't believe Jesus rose again? How can there be people that don't believe he was born of a virgin when it so clearly says? How can people be duped so easily? I'll tell you how, because they don't know how to cut straight. They don't know how to measure their life by the Word of God. They cannot dissect the Word correctly. Their measurements were off. It is amazing what we choose to measure ourselves by. Would you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12? For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Folks, don't measure yourself by people around you. You don't measure yourself by people. You don't do that. Why? Only one of two things can happen, and neither of them is good. You can either become puffed up with pride, thinking, oh, look how great I am compared to so-and-so. Or you can get discouraged, thinking, oh, well, they're so much better than me. Who do they think they are? That's not good. What you measure yourself by is the Word of God. You measure yourself by how much do you look like Jesus? How much do you resemble the Son of God? And I'll tell you what, if you do that, this book will tell you whether you're cutting it straight or not. This book will tell you whether you got it right or not, if you'll follow that book right there. In Amos, it was the plumb line. If you don't know what a plumb line is, it's this metal weight at the bottom, and it's hung by a string, and people used to use it in the old days to hang it to make sure that when they were painting something or when they were building something that it was straight. That's the Word of God. We measure our lives to find out if we're doing it right or not. Remember years ago, we had a kid in our youth department, and he was getting taller as, you know, as years went on. And as he started getting close to my height, he would come up next to me and kind of, you know, like stand there and do this number. You know how people are, and he'd be like, hey, Brother Reynolds, we're almost the same height. I'm like, he's like this tall. Yeah, real close. You know that thing kids do? Look, we're like the same height almost. It's like, yeah, the slope of your head does kind of angle up towards me. You're right. You know? But then he started getting taller. And then, you know, he's getting up a little bit taller and taller and taller, and I'm looking at him, and he's doing this number. And he just began to, he just, every time I was around him, even if I wasn't looking, he's just over there like sitting up super straight, trying to, because he had this obsession with being taller than me for some reason. You know, I don't know why. But he was measuring up. He was trying to, he wanted to be taller. He wanted to be on the level with me or whatever. Folks, listen. We can't measure ourselves with other people. We got to measure ourselves with Jesus Christ. Because the thing is, we'll never measure up. And the truth is, we'll see that, hey, we still got some building to do. Hey, we still got some work to do over here. We still got to grow. And the way we keep growing to be more like Him is by getting in this book and obeying it. See, we use tools for three things. We use tools in relation to the workman here for building. We use tools for measuring, but we also use tools for repairing. Repairing. Everyone that came to church today, probably all of us are in need of some repair. Something that the world took out of us this week. The world hurts. Our enemy is after us. Our flesh sabotages us. And we've got all these things that are just tearing us down as Christians, and we need repair. How do we fix the breaches? How do we patch up the holes? Well, I'll tell you what a good workman would do. A good workman would go back to the toolbox and get the right tool for the job. I want to tell you, if you faced some difficulties this week, maybe, I mean, something, a curveball was thrown at you didn't see coming. Maybe it was, I talked to someone yesterday, and they were telling me that at one point in their life, I forget what happened, they just bought a house, I think it was. The next day, they both were laid off. The same day. You know, sometimes things happen in life, and maybe it's a family issue, or maybe it's a personal issue, and you failed yourself, and you failed God, and you just feel like, man, it's just, I need repair. How do you do that? You do that by getting into this book. See, all of us have some wounds sometimes. Maybe there's some hole in the heart. Maybe there was a wound by parents when you were a kid, loved ones, strangers. Maybe someone hurt you in some way. Some people turn to drugs. That won't help. Some people turn to alcohol. That won't help. Some people turn to immorality, but that won't help. The only way for you to be healed and be whole once again is by letting God move in and heal you. I often find that He has healed me and helped me through the comfort of Scripture, through the comfort of the Word of God. I wonder today how many of you need those holes and that hurt healed. He does that, and he heals us as we dig deep into the Word of God. I think about this. So many people in this room, how many of you, your lives have been repaired and renovated by the power of the Word of God? What did that? What changed you? That there's power in the gospel. There's power in this book. And that's what did it. I remember as a teenager, I went to teen camp. And I wasn't really faithful in church. And I went and I was hearing preaching like I hadn't heard since I was a kid in the South. And I remember these pastors stood up and the theme for the camp was, "Will you be the one?" I think it was 2001 or 2000. And the theme was, "Will you be the one? If no one else will serve God, will you?" Yeah, I had my own plans. You know, I was going to be this great rock guitar player and all that, you know, and had my future planned out that way. And I sat there and I listened to someone take this book and open it up and tell me, "Thus saith the Lord," and tell me what the Bible said, what God said in that tool right there. And I'll never forget the renovation project that God started in my heart. In early August 2001, I believe it was. And how did he start that? How did he do that? He did that by this book right here. You know what? He's not done with me either. He's still going to be working on me and building on me until I look like Jesus. That's not going to happen until I get to heaven. But he's not done. Folks, he's not done with you either. But here's the thing. Are you allowing God to build you? Are you measuring yourself by this book or by what other people do? Well, probably no one's going to be here tonight because it's Super Bowl, so I won't show up. Don't measure yourself by people. Measure yourself by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and then maybe are you allowing God to repair those things, or are you holding on to that bitterness? Are you holding on to that anger? Are you holding on to that hurt that you had long ago? No. Let God, through this book, do a work in your heart. Our Father, today, I thank you for the Bible. Lord, I want our people to get in the book. God, we have got to be laboring in the Word as if our spiritual livelihood depended upon it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a couple questions, just to get you to think, if you would. Are you allowing God's Word to build your life? Are you measuring yourself by this book, or are you looking at everyone else? Are you allowing God's Word to repair you? And then I always leave with this, but if there's someone here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, friend, you need to trust Him today. Don't you leave here without doing that. In a moment we'll stand, and in a moment the music will play, and I invite you to come. If you have not trusted Christ, why don't you come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home. But maybe here today we need some people who'll say, "God, I'm recommitting myself to letting you build my life through this book, by letting you repair some of the hurts in my heart, and I'm going to measure myself not by what other people do, but by the Word of God.